Today's daf is Beis Daf Zayin. We left off on the bottom of Daf Vav and Beis. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing this statement that was made that Beitza im yitzi asa nigmara. Rav Huna Marav had said that an egg im yitzi asa nigmara. At the time that it comes out, that's when it is nigmara, that's when it's completed. So yesterday we had two explanations of what that might mean, Beitza im yitzi asa nigmara. Today we're going to discuss three more explanations of what Beitza im yitzi asa nigmara means. And then the Gemara is going to go back to discuss one of the previous explanations we had discussed, the status of an egg with regard to the Isra of basar b'chalav, both when the egg is in, certainly once it's out of the chicken, then it's not going to be a problem basar b'chalav anymore, it's not considered basar anymore. But what about an egg while it's still in the chicken? What if it is nigmar, or seems to be nigmar, inside of the chicken? What is its status when it comes to basar b'chalav? The Gemara is then going to quote a brisa that tells us that kol tashmisho b'yom is nola b'yom, that any animal that mates during the day, we assume that the birth will also happen during the day, and it's going to discuss the nafkamina when it comes to an egg, when it comes to the egg that comes from a chicken with regard to mating during the day. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain the machlokas about the shear of biur chametz that we had in the Mishnah and Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We had a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, not the shear of biur chametz, but the shear of the isra of owning chametz, both chametz and sa'ar, the machlokas about chametz and its relationship to sa'ar. The Gemara is going to expound on that, and then at the very end of the Daf, it's going to explain the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about shechita and kisui on Yantiv, what one is allowed to do if one wants to shecht on Yantiv but does not have afar muchan, whether one requires afar muchan in order to do the kisui. So let's continue again from, we'll pick up again from two lines from the bottom on Daf Vav Amud Beis, the third explanation of what it means im yitzi asa nigmara. So the Gemara says beitza ella, again second line from the bottom, ella im yitzi asa nigmara. So what does im yitzi asa nigmara mean? So the Gemara explains im yitzi asa nigmara umegadel safrochim, that it's only able to be megadel afrochim once it comes out of the chicken. But if you shecht the chicken and then you just find the egg inside of it, then such an egg would not be able to be megadel safrochim. No chick is ever going to be hatched from such an egg. B'mei ima ena megadel safrochim. If it's b'mei ima, it's not going to be megadel afrochim at all. So it says, well, my nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Whether it's megadel safrochim or not when it comes out. So when it's found b'mei iman, lemekach memker. The nafkamina is if someone purchases an egg and he plans on being megadel afrochim, so he was cheated. If you give him an egg that you found b'mei iman, because it's not going to be megadel afrochim. Ki ahu damer lehu, like the guy who went around saying bei de pachy leman. Who's got a bei de pachy, which means an egg that's going to be megadel afrochim? And they gave him the egg of a shchuta, of a chicken that was shechted that they found inside. Also, kamed Rabbi Ami, so he went to Rabbi Ami with a taina that he didn't get what he wanted. Amrlehu mekach tos hu v'hadar. So he said, "You're right. You were cheated. It's a mekach tos," and he made him give back the money because that's not what he was in the market to buy. So it says, "Pshita. Of course, it's a mekach tos. If he was asking specifically that I want the egg of a chicken that's going to be able to hatch, so obviously it's a mekach tos." If he gave him the egg of a chicken that was shechted. I might have thought that even though the guy is saying he wants an egg that would be able to develop a chicken hatch, he really just wants an egg that he's going to eat. The reason he's specifically asking for that kind of egg, the egg that was laid from a chicken that's still alive, is because that such an egg is assumed to be mavushal kol tzarcho. Such an egg is assumed to be fully developed, and he's just really looking for a fully developed egg. So if you're able to give him an egg from a tarnagol that was shechted, and it looks fairly developed, so I might think that that's not a mekach tos. L'may nafkamina, so what's it going to be? What would the halacha be if you gave him such an egg and that's all he was really looking for, is all he really wanted to do is eat it? Is the misfile beni beni. All you would have to do is refund him the difference in price between an egg that's completely done and an egg that you found inside of a chicken. But if he's only looking, since he's only looking to eat it anyway, so he got what he wants pretty much. He just got a bit of a bad deal, so you just have to refund him the difference in price. So kamash mlan, therefore it has to tell me, no, this is much worse than that. It's not just about refunding him the difference in price. It's an entirely mekach tos, because the person was not looking for an egg to eat. If he says he's not looking for an egg to eat, we have to take him at his at at his word that he's not looking for an egg to eat. He's looking for an egg to be able to hatch one day. There's another story. A guy was going around saying, who has Beyde Dakhra? Eggs that were a result that were laid by the chicken as a result of a male that was not because just from the chamima sakarka, from the warmth of the ground that it was laid, but it was laid as a result of a male fertilizing the egg. So yavlo beid the safna me'arit, they gave him an egg that was actually from the ground that was not laid as a result of a male fertilizing the egg. So asal kamed Rabbi Ami, so they came to Rabbi Ami amrlu mekach tos uvahadar. Rabbi Ami said it's a mekach tos and the whole sale is invalid. So it says Mar Pshita, of course it's a Mekach Tos. He was saying Bei Didachra, so he gave him the wrong thing. Obviously it's a Mekach Tos. Mar says again, no, Mao Detema Haila Achilaka Bailahu. No, I might have thought that even though he's asking for a Bei Didachra, what he really wants is just an egg to eat. Vai the Kamar Didachra Mishum to Shamin and Tvei. He's asking for a Bei Didachra because that's a fatter egg, that's a better egg. So he's just looking for the best egg to eat. And the Mainaf Kamil Misrale Beni Beni, and therefore all you would have to refund him is the difference in price between a bay de dachra that you want to eat and a regular egg that you want to eat. So kamashmalan, therefore comes tell me no, it's entirely a mekach tos, that it's a mekach tos entirely. The Rav Zilberstein raised a shaylin chashuke chemed, a beitza that you find v'mei ima, and then you open up the egg and you find a tipas dam inside of it. Are you allowed to eat such an egg? Meaning, do you assume that tipas dam is completely mutter? Why would we assume that? So he points out the Gemara over here beitza davavim beiz. That this explanation of imitzias nigmra is that only once it comes out of the chicken is it assumed to be able to be megadol afrochim. But when it's b'mei ima, it's not megadol afrochim. So Rav Yashav asks in his Ha'aros and Maseches Beitza that l'chora the Gemara could have said a better nafkamina instead of saying nafkamina lemekach umemkar, that the nafkamina is if someone was looking for it that you'd have to whether it's a mekach tov or not, it should have said enough kaminya linis of a heter that if it's not able to be megadol afrochim, so the dam that's found inside of it should not asa the egg that like an egg that safna meara is not asa. You're allowed to eat it. The Shulchan Aruch passes in Yardei and Simon Samach Vav because it's not royal legadol beitzim, so they can't asa. It's not royal legadol afrochim, so you can't asa the dam. So why didn't the Gemara say nafkamina for isa of a heter about a tipas dam that you find in it? Why is it only nafkamina in dina choshen mishpat of mekach taus? So he says maybe the answer is that beitzim that are found b'mei iman, they're not royal gadol afrochim, but the beginning of the process does happen, and therefore maybe it's aser even when it's safna me'ara, meaning enochinami, a full chick is never going to come out of it, but maybe the beginning of the development can happen enough that the blood inside of it is going to be aser. So just because it can't a living chick is never going to come out of it, it doesn't mean that it's that the blood inside of it is necessarily going to be mutter. So now the Gemara says a fourth possible explanation of what it means. Beitzim yitzias nigmra. V'iba yisema, mayim yitzias nigmra. A fourth possibility. What does it mean? Im yitzias nigmra. The first wide line on Zayin Amud Aleph. Im yitzias ruba nigmra. What it means to say is when the majority comes out, that's when you have the gemar. That's when it's considered to be completed. Uchad Rabbi Yochanan, in line with what Rabbi Yochanan taught. Tam Rabbi Yochanan, beitza shiyata ruba me'erv yom tov. Let's say rove of the egg comes out of the chicken on Erev Yantiv, v'chazra, and then the chicken goes right back inside the chicken, mutaris li'achla b'yantiv. You're allowed to eat it on Yantiv. It's considered as if that egg was laid on Erev Yantiv, because as long as rove came out on Erev Yantiv, that's considered an egg that was laid, and therefore it's not a problem of muksa at all when it comes out again on Yantiv. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's what im yitziyasa nigmara means. Then v'ika da amri, a fifth explanation is the exact opposite. My im yitzias enigma. What does im yitzias enigma mean? It means im yitzias kula nigmara, that no, only when the egg entirely comes out is it considered to be an egg that is laid. Im yitzias kula in aval ruba lo. If only the majority comes out, that is not good enough. Ula afuke mid Rabbi Yochanan, to tell me dafka not to say like Rabbi Yochanan, that according to this fifth approach, the understanding is that if it comes out most of the way on Erev Yantiv, then goes back in and then comes out on Yantiv itself, it's muktzah. The fact that it came out most of the way on Erev Yantiv is irrelevant. That's not called that the egg is laid, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks that it is called that the egg is laid in that situation. So the interesting thing over here is the Rambam leaves out this din entirely. He doesn't quote it la halacha at all about the din of Beitza that's Yata Ruba on Erev Yantiv. He also doesn't quote the Shita of Rav Mari about someone who's Bodik Bekan Shel Tarnagolin that we're going to have a little bit later on. If someone checks a Kan Shel Tarnagolin and he doesn't find a Beitza, and then the next morning he goes and he finds a Beitza that it's Mutter, and he doesn't quote Rav who holds that it's Aser, and the Chilik, whether there's a Zachar there or not a Zachar there, that we're going to see later on in this Amud. He doesn't quote most of these halachos that we have over here. And the Nosei Kelim, the primary Nosei Kelim on the side of the Ram, don't even mention it either. So the Achronim are bothered a little bit. It's almost as if the Rambam didn't have Beitza Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, meaning he doesn't quote any of these halachos that we have over here on Beitza Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Tzlach explains that really the Rambam paskins like this last lashon, like this final Ikeda Amri, where Rav is cholik on Rabbi Yochanan's heter of Beitza Shiyata Ruba. Again, in this last lashon, Rabbi Yochanan held, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't change, Rabbi Yochanan held that if Rova the egg comes out in Erev Yantif, so that's Nolad. And therefore, in Yantif, you're going to be allowed to use it, it's not Muktzah. But Rav, in this last lashon, is cholik on Rabbi Yochanan and holds that it's going to be Aser. So the Rambam doesn't quote the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, and he doesn't quote the whole Nidon of Rav Mari later on, because the whole Heter that we're going to see later on of Rav Mari is based on Rabbi Yochanan, as we'll see in the Gemara. So clearly just the Rambam rejects Rabbi Yochanan la'alacha, and that's why much of this Amud is irrelevant according to the Rambam. The Tzach just points out the problem with this approach is that generally speaking the rule is Rav Rabbi Yochanan la'alacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, that when you have Rav and Rabbi Yochanan la'alacha zak Rabbi Yochanan, and not only that, over here there's one Lashon where Rav is even mod that to Rabbi Yochanan. So not only do you have a general rule that Rabbi Yochanan, we always pass on Rabbi Yochanan against Rav, in one of the Lashonos, Rav is even molded to Rabbi Yochanan. So that's another indication to pass on Rabbi Yochanan. Why would the Rambam dafka paskin against Rabbi Yochanan over here? So Tzlach explains brilliantly. He says, the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan over here is lishi tasam in the first daf in this Masechta, about the issue of Hachana de Rabba. Rav explained the issue of a Beitza Shnol de Biyomtov is because of an Isra Hachana. Rabbi Yochanan was cholik, and he says the reason of Beitza is mishum gzeras mashkin shazavu. It's like liquid that comes out of a fruit that's aser. So the Beitza that's nolad is also aser. So Rabbi Yochanan, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is matir Beitza shiyata ruba, that's because he holds ruba kukulo applies over here like it does in kalatarakula. If most of the egg came out, so ruba kukulo. It's as if it was totally born. But that's only by something that's totally in din, like a gzeras chachamim. That's an issue of halacha, where the Chacham make a gzeira by the Beitza, that it's similar to Mashkin Shazavu, that if Rov of it comes out, it's not Bechlal the gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu anymore, if Rov has already come out from before Yantiv. But something that's not Tali in Din, something that's Tali in Teva, in just nature, and how things happen, so you're not going to say a din of Rubo Kikulo on laws of nature. You say Rubo Kikulo when it comes to halachos, not when it comes to laws of nature. The Teva is not doesn't change based on the rov alone when you need kulo. So Rav holds that the Isra of Beitza is an Isra of Hachana. Rubo Kikulo is not going to help because the Leda of the Beitza is considered Hachana only be Yitziyasa when it's Roy Legadda Lefrochim. So that's why the Yitziyasa, the Beitza is only considered Nolad according to Rav once it comes out entirely and not when it comes out rov, because we don't say a din of Rubo Kikulo when it comes to laws of nature. So Rav Lashi Tasso Asers over here, if Rove comes out Mayor of Yomtov and then it goes back inside the chicken because it still hasn't been considered laid because it's an issue of Hachana. It's an issue of when this egg is actually prepared, when this egg is actually ready to come out. That only happens when it's Yatza Kulo, but when it comes to Hachana, we paskin like Rav. So even though, generally speaking, Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Lach, Rabbi Yochanan, but when it comes to the Hachana issue, we paskin like Rav. So that's why the Rav paskins over here as well, like Rav, against Rabbi Yochanan. And that's why the Rambam doesn't quote this whole din of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the brilliant explanation of the Tzlach. Sfasema says something very similar, that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are, holy, are also Lashita. Somebody says it slightly differently. He says, Rabbi Yochanan asks a Beitza because of Gzera of Mashkin Shazavu, so it's Mistavr that once Rov of it comes out, it's already considered Talush, it's no longer similar to Mashkin Shazavu. But Rav, who asks Mishum Hachana, any Beitza that's Nolad today is considered to be Nigmar the previous day, so we should ask her even if Rov comes out in Erev Yontif, because even in such a case, we could assume that it was only Nigmar the previous day, because if it was Nigmar the day before that, then yesterday, then the previous day it would have come out entirely. The fact that it was Choseris Lameima is a siman mufak that it wasn't yet Nigmar, that it still had a little more cooking to do inside before it comes out. So that's why. So it's only Nigmar on the previous day. Okay, so that's why the Rama maybe leaves this out. Gufa, back in the Gemara, so Gufa. We had mentioned Ashokhiris Tarnagolus and Matzva Beitzim Gemuros, Mutaros Liachim Bechalov. We had mentioned yesterday that if you shech the Tarnagolus and you find inside the Tarnagolus full eggs, you're allowed to eat those eggs with Chalav. You're allowed to have them with milk, meaning such eggs are not considered to be basar. Rabbi Yaakov Amrim Hayim Urus Begidin Asuros. But Rabbi Yaakov says, if there are sinews that are attaching the eggs to the inside of the chicken still, then they are asur, they're still considered to be part of the basar of the chicken. So the Gemara is going to have two versions of a way to plug in this machlokas to a brisa. So first version is as follows: Man Tana LaHadutan Rabbanan. Who's the author of the following brisa? Is it Rabbi Yaakov or the Tanakama who agrees with the following brisa? Ha'ochel min nivlas of tahar. If a person eats a nevelas of tahar, the halacha is now, when it comes to a kosher bird that is not shechted, that just dies, that's a nevela, or that you kill without shechita, a kosher bird, a min that's kosher, but it doesn't have a proper shechita, that's called a nevelas of tahar, and it's mitame bebeis habliya. It's a unique halacha, that the way it's mitame a person is if a person eats it, so while one swallows it, he becomes tame. It's mitame bebeis habliya. So what if a person eats from a nevelas of tahar, but not from the meat of the bird, rather Minashalal Shalbeitzim. He eats from the Shalal Shalbeitzim, which Rashi says means Kishahin Kavushin Vishalulin Kavuin Vishidra, when the Beitzim are still attached to the spine. Kalomar Ochlos and Beitzim Ba'odan Mu'uran Begidim. The point is that Shalal Shalbeitzim is still connected with Gidim, which is exactly what we just discussed when the Beitzim are still Mu'uros Begidim. Rabbi Yaakov had said that they still have a din of Basar, that they still have a din of meat. So if a person eats mina shalosh shel beitzim or mina atzamos from the bones, mina gidin or from the sinews themselves, if you assume ein begidin b'no seintam, if you assume that the sinews aren't something that's really edible, mina basar shenitlash mina chai, or from basar that was removed while the animal was still alive before it was ever a nevela, the halacha is tahar. That is not considered eating the meat of a nevela. Mina eshkol shel beitzim, but if you eat from the eshkol shel beitzim, which Rashi explains from the basar of the shidra where the beitzim connect to the shidra. Umina kurkavan b'nei ma'ayin o sheimches achelev, where you melt the fat v'gamo and you swallow it tame. In that case, that's considered that you ate from the meat of the nevelas of tahar. So man tana min hashalosh shel beitzim tahar. Who's the one that holds if you eat from the shalosh shel beitzim where the beitzim are still meuros begidin, they're still connected with sinews to the inside of the chicken, that it's tahar because it's not considered meat. So I'm Rav Yosef delo. Rabbi Yaakov, that's clearly against Rabbi Yaakov, because with regards to the halachas of basar b'chalav, Rabbi Yaakov said that such beitzim are still considered meat, and you're not allowed to have it with chalav. So l'chora, it should be considered meat when it comes to the laws of tum and tara as well, and it should be considered that you ate from the meat of a nevela of tar. Sadiqa Rabbi Yaakov, because if we were going like Rabbi Yaakov, amarim hayu muros begidin asuros. Rabbi Yaakov held that if it was muros begidin, if it was mixed in with gidin, it is asur. So the Gemara says, amarim abayim mimai. Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yaakov hasam elin nisura. No, it's not necessarily going against Rabbi Yaakov. Maybe Rabbi Yaakov only considers it to still be meat when it comes to Isra v'heter avlinian tuma lo, but maybe when it comes to tuma he does not consider it to be meat with regard to the halach of the tuma of nevelas of tar v'chitema. And if you're going to say linian tuma nami nigzar, that at least you should make a gzeira. If you're going to consider it meat in the world of basar v'chalav, at least we should make a gzeira that it midrabanan, it should be considered meat with the halachas of tumah. We're not interested in making more things tameh. To just add more tumah is not something that we're interested in doing. So therefore, we're not going to make a gzeira unnecessarily in the halachas of tumah. So it could be that it's even going like Rabbi Yaakov. When does Rabbi Yaakov say that it has a din of meat? That's with regard to the halachas of basa b'chalav. But it does not have a din of meat when it comes to the halachas of tumah tahara. That's one version of how that brisa plugs into the machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yaakov. The ikada amri, others say no, that the conversation goes as follows. Man tana mina eshkol shel beitim tamei, who's the one that holds that mina eshkol shel beitim is tamei, that if you eat from the eshkol shel beitim, that it's considered that you ate from the meat of the veil softar, and therefore you're going to be tamei. Am Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov eid, am Rav Yimurus begidin asuros. That's going exactly like Rabbi Yaakov, because Rabbi Yaakov holds that if the beitim are still connected with gidin to the chicken, that's considered basar, legabe basar b'chalav. Samlei Abaye, Abaye says, no, when you're quoting the wrong line in the Brisa, instead of quoting mina shalos shel beitzim, now we're quoting mina eshkol, where we said that it's tameh. Amlei Abaye, mimayde de eshkol mehanach de talya be eshkol, dilma eshkol gufei. How do you know eshkol means the eggs while they're still hanging and connected to the inside of the shidra? No, maybe it just means the eshkol itself, the way we translated it the first time. Rashi said that from the basar of the shidra itself, that's what it's referring to. That's considered to be basar. But the eggs that are connected to it, that's not considered basar. V'chitem, and if you're going to say, well, eshkol gufei, my lememra, that what's the chiddush of telling me that you're going to be tameh if you eat the eshkol gufei? Of course that's considered basar. Well, midadava korkvan b'nei mayin, da'afagav de basar ninu, kibindike inshi dula'achli, isra chashminon. Well, there are other parts of the chicken that are also very clearly basar, and yet the braisa still has to tell me that you become tameh when you eat them, because one might have thought that since there's something that people don't normally eat, so maybe it would not have a din of being metame a person with as nevel softar. So achanami, I would say over here as well, kiven dekin shidlo achli, since there are some people that don't eat the eshkol shel beitzim, so it's rechlash minon. That's why the brisa has to come and tell me that you're still going to be metame like any other basar of a nevel softar. Period. Now, we had mentioned in passing over here that minha atzamos, if a person eats from the atzamos of a nevelos of tahar, so the person is going to be tahar. That's not considered that you're eating from the nevelos of tahar. So there's no din of tumah by atzamos. The Rambam paskins this way in Hilchos Avos HaTumah Paragimel Alacha Yud. And when it comes to eating the atzamos, the in terms of isra v'heter, not in terms of tumah and tahara, in Macholos Asuras Paragdal Alacha Yud Ches, the Rambam writes, a person who eats from a nevela or a trefa or a behema chayva ofa tameim or a non-kosher species, whether it's mina or whether it's mina atzamos, even though it's asur, he says, hareza pater. And he does not distinguish between soft bones and hard, dry bones. So the Rambam sounds like it's asur to eat from the atzamos, the lagabi isur veheter, it's always going to be asur to eat from the atzamos. You think to yourself, why does this matter? Who cares? Whoever eats from the atzamos of animals that are not kosher or that are nevelos, well, this is the major shaila of gelatin. This is the issue of whether gelatin is mutar rasa. There's a major, major tumult in poskim. The Achiezer is the first major tshuva about it in Chelek Gimel, Siman Lamed Gimel. He says that the Rambam, when the Rambam Aser is eating atzamos, he's talking about atzamos harakim. But atzamos hakashim, if you have hard bones where there's no moisture to it at all, there's no isra at all. And that's why he says by atzamos harakim, imnis yashvu, and if they dry up and the entire moisture is taken from it, there's no isra at all. And this is how the Rama paskins in Yardea Simin Pei Zayin Si'if Yud, that the or of a keva that was salted and dried out and became like eitz, even if you fill it up with milk, the milk is totally mutter, because there's no lachluchis shel basar at all still connected to it. And mele, the same is going to be true, says the Achiezer, by hardened bones that have no taste whatsoever, or even soft bones that were treated chemically to the point that they dried out entirely and they have no taste and no flavor and no moisture to them, which based on that, says the Achiezer, that's exactly what gelatin is. They'll take some of the softer bones, they'll treat them chemically till they become completely dried out through some chemical treatment, and then they grind it up into like a powder, and that's the gelatin. So he says, however, there may be makom lahachmir based on what the Shach writes, that b'nei me'ayim that are dried up and have no lach luchas at all that are cooked together with chalav, they're not asr. But the Shach says, but ein lasos ken lechadchila, that one shouldn't do this lechadchila. So maybe the same would be true by the bones, that one should not do this lechadchila. But the Achiezer is not convinced, because the Shach may only be talking about the bnei me'ayim. But at samos, maybe even the Shach would be mekil lechadchila. So that was the primary argument of those who were matir gelatin, those who still are. There are some that are still are matir gelatin. In America, we're never the major kashrus organizations are not matir gelatin. Rav Aaron Cutler wrote a tshuva, a long tshuva many years ago, where he explained why he believes it's 100% usser, and that tshuva seemed to have been the final word in America. It was widely accepted by all the kashrus organizations, so we don't allow gelatin that comes from behemoth tomato or from a nevela, from any of these sources. So that's all based on this concept of atzamos, whether atzamos is considered to be basar or not considered to be basar. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braisa. Any animal that has tashmish during the day, so it's going to have offspring during the day. And the same is true if an animal has tashmish during the night, so its offspring is going to come out at night. An animal that's capable of both, so can give birth both day and night. So what does this mean? Which animals are we talking about? That's a reference to the tarnagolas. Tarnagolas only has tashmish during the day. Mela, the eggs are only going to be laid during the day. That's an atleif that only has tashmish during the night, and therefore it's only going to be nolad at night. What has tashmish, is capable of tashmish both b'yom and b'layla? Adam v'kald adamilei, people and things like it that are able to have tashmish both b'yom and b'layla. So amar mar, let's focus on that first one though, on tarnagolas. Kol she tashmisha b'yom nol b'yom zu tarnagolas. L'may nafkamina, we're just starting teaching me some biology that a chicken has tashmish during the day and therefore the eggs are only laid during the day. L'may nafkamina la halacha, where does this ever matter in halacha? So Gemara explains, we alluded to before, l'cha d'rav mari b'rei d'rav kahana. The nafkamina is for the din of Rav Mari b'rei d'rav kahana. Let's say you go and you check your chicken coop on Erev Yom Tov to see if there are any eggs there, and there are no eggs there. You were there right before Yom Tov started. The next morning you wake up very early before the sun rises, and you find an egg there. So can you assume that this egg must have been there before Yom Tov, in which case it would be mutter, or do you have to assume that this egg was laid on Yom Tov and therefore would be asr? Halacha is muter. Why is it with teres? Because the chicken could not have laid the egg in between the last time you were there and now, because that was nighttime. Chicken doesn't lay an egg at night. It only lays an egg during the day. So it must have been from before Yontif. Ay, valobadak. But you checked. So Gemara says, yeah, I mean, sometimes you find chametz in your house also on Pesach, but you checked. Eimer lo badak yafa yafa. So it could be that you didn't check so well. You thought you checked, but you missed. There was an egg there the whole time, and you just didn't see it. And even if you really did check well, there's always the possibility that rove of it came out in Erev Yantif, and then, like we said before, and then it went back inside of the chicken, and then it just came out on Yantif at night. But we passing like Rabbi Yochanan, but the Gemara is saying, maybe we Rav Mari at least passes like Rabbi Yochanan, and this is what I was alluding to before. The Rambam doesn't quote this whole din of Rav Mari about checking for the egg, because it's all Tali and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rambam rejects the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. So says Gemara, Eini, is this really so? V'am Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amirav Badak Bekanesh Al Tarnagolas Mir Rav Yom Tov V'lo Matza Bebeitza L'machar Hishkim U'matza Bebeitza Asura. We have a beferish statement from Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amirav to the contrary, that if you check your chicken coop before Yom and there's nothing there, and then the next morning you go very early and you see that there is something there, that beitza is considered to be nolad on Yantiv and is aser. So says Mara Hasam b'dasafta me'ara. Now that's a case where there was no male to fertilize the egg, and it was just warmed from the ground, so that can come out at night. Such an egg can come out at night, and therefore that's going to be muktzah. So frankly, Mari Yochi Rav Mari Nami Yem Me'ara Safna. Well, why isn't Rav Mari concerned about that? That maybe the egg came out as a result of the warmth of the ground and not as a result of a male, and therefore it could have come out at night. So because Rav Mari was talking about where there's a male in the vicinity. So if there's a male in the vicinity, then you know that's why the egg came out, and therefore it can only come out during the day. So but still, even if there's a male in the vicinity, how do you know that this egg came as a result of that male? Maybe this egg was just as a result of being warmed by the ground, and therefore it could have come out at night. We know that if there's a male around, then it's not coming from the ground. Then the egg is coming as a result of the presence of the male, and therefore the egg would only come out during the day. That's what Rav Mari was saying. How close does the male have to be in order to assume that any egg that comes out is not because of Safna Me'ara? Samarav Gamza Mishmid Rav Kalhecha Deshama Kale Biyamama. Wherever you would be able to hear the sound of the male at a distance during the daytime, as long as the chicken knows that the male is around, so that's it. That's enough to assume that it's not Safna Me'ara, that it's only from the male. Now, why during the daytime? Because daytime is different than nighttime. Nighttime is generally considered to be quieter, so during the nighttime you would hear from a greater distance. During the daytime, it would be a lesser distance. Tulsus points out the reason we're magdirit by daytime is velonaka belayla mishum de tashmisha biyom, because the chicken is tashmisha biyom, so that's when we assume that is the critical time when it comes to the chicken. There's an interesting discussion. One of the poskim suggests, quotes a tshuva from one of the earlier poskim, so quoted in the Penina Halach over here, in the back of the Masifta, that if peros, let's say, fall off a tree, ben hashmashos of Erev Shabbos, and at the same time the pri falls off the tree, a tarnagolas lays an egg. So can you assume that the pri is mutter, that it's not mukta, because the tarnagolas only lays an egg, it's ben hashmashos, safig yom, safig laila. But the tarnagolas is laying an egg, so it's got to be that it's daytime, because the tarnagolas only lays an egg during the daytime. So maybe that's megala, that the pri is mutter, that it's got to be vadayom, because otherwise the tarnagolas wouldn't be laying an egg. So that's what one of the poskim wanted to suggest, that you could be poshe to safig based on the timing of a tarnagolas laying an egg. So he says, what about, would you say the same thing? What if a child is born, ben hashmashos, Friday night going into Shabbos? So typically speaking, if a child is born during ben hashmashos, Friday night going into Shabbos, can't do the bris on Friday, because it might only be day 7, might not be day 8. Can't do the bris on Shabbos, because that might be already day 9. Friday might be day 8 already, so you can't do the bris the following Shabbos, so we delay the bris until Sunday. What if you have a chicken laying an egg at the same time that the child is being born? So if the chicken laying an egg is only biyom, so maybe that's a raya that the baby was born during the daytime, and therefore mainly you could do the bris the following Friday. So he wants to suggest, maybe you could say, he says, no, when it comes to the isra of muktza, when it comes to the nisid rabbanon of the fruit that falls off of a tree, maybe we'll rely on such a simon, but for an isid al-raisa of a mila and Shabbos, so that we're not going to rely on such a simon. I don't know why not, but that's the assumption, that we can't rely on the laws of nature to determine that halacha. Otherwise you could be poshet when ben hashmash, it's just by looking at chickens, you know, when the latest time the chicken, you know, when is that moment of ben hashmash? We don't rely on the laws of nature to be poshet such shilas for us. Okay, so the Gemara tells us further, not only the amount of space that you could hear the chicken during the daytime, Avad Rav Mari Uvda Ad Shisin Bati. Rav Mari was willing to rely, to assume that it came from male, even if it was 60 houses away. That's how far away it was. V'ika Nahara Lo Avra. But if there's a river, we assume it's not going to pass over the river. V'ika Mavra Avra. But if there's a bridge, then it would pass over the bridge. V'ika Mitzra Lo Avra. If there's a boundary, then it wouldn't pass over. That Havuvdav Avra Mitzvah. One time it did pass over the boundary, so therefore we shouldn't assume that the boundary is going to block. So B'mayu Kimta, what was the case that we said? Is the assumption, can we make the assumption that the chicken was, that the egg was laid even at nighttime on Yontif? That's only with the Safna Me'ara. That's only if it was warmed from the ground, and that's why it laid the egg. Ma'iriya Badak Kilo Badagnami. Then why do we have to come up with a case where you checked the previous night and there was nothing there? Even if you didn't check the previous night and there was nothing there, if it was a case where there was no male in sight, and you go on Yontif morning, let's say you hadn't been to your chicken coop in a week, and you go, or in 2 days, or whatever, and you go on Yontif morning for the first time, and you see an egg there, so anyway it should be asur. Even if you didn't check right before Yontif and see that there was nothing there, even if you still have to be choshesh, shouldn't you still have to be choshesh that it was born, that it was laid on Yontif, and therefore it's going to be aser. So it says Mark, kilo bada came a meyat malavai. No, if you didn't check, then you have the right to assume that it was from the previous day. Then it would be a suffik, and the suffik to rabban lekula, you'd have the right to assume it was from the previous day. So Frank tells us why. Even if you want to say suffik to rabban lekula, beitz is a davar sheish lamatirin, a mukta egg, you could just wait till after yantiv. So why would you have the right to assume that it was from before yantiv? So it says Yeshlomo the shiny yachim mishum degam ki safna me'ar shchiach the oled biyom yosim ribalayla. He says because it's not a 50-50 suffik, it's a rove. Even when a chicken is safna me'ara, it doesn't mean that every time it's safna me'ara it comes at night. It still happens more at day than it does at night. The chicken's still going to lay more eggs during the daytime than it will at nighttime. So we have the right to assume like the rove if you didn't check the previous evening. But if you check the previous evening ben hashmashos and you saw that there was nothing there, and then you come back the next morning, so then you have to assume that the egg was laid on yantiv. So Frank Mari Yachi Kibadignani is Yatsurub of Khazri Rabbi Yochanan. But still, what does the checking the previous night help? Because it could be that the egg was really laid on Erev Yantiv and it came out rov and then it went back in, so that's why you didn't see it when you checked Ben Hashmashos, but really this egg is mutter. So shouldn't we rely on that? Says Mara Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shchiach. Just like it's a rove that most of the eggs are laid on during the daytime and not during nighttime, there's a more overwhelming rove that most of the eggs don't come out rove of the way and then go back in and hang out there for another day before being laid. So that rove is an overwhelming rove. It's lo shchiach to find Rabbi Yochanan's case. Then a totally different comment, the Gemara just says, v'am Rabbi Yosef inshallah marav, since we quoted him before, hay tuma shchika sakanta l'gluya, that if you grind up garlic, so it's a sakana to leave it exposed overnight, because we assume that a nachash could put its venom in there. So we're just quoting it because we're quoting Rabbi Yosef ben Shalom Rav, but really it has nothing, I don't think it has anything to do with anything we're saying. Rabbi Yosef ben Shalom Rav is just the one who told us about Badak Bekanesh Tatanagol and Erev Yantif and not finding a beitza there, and the next morning finding a beitza there, that it's going to be Aser against Rav Murray, who held that it was mutter. So just a quick comment over here. We had mentioned Rav Murray holds that if you find the egg the next day, then it's mutter because you have the right to assume that you just missed it the previous day, and that's when there's a zachar in the neighborhood. So Rashi explains that you're badak and erev yontov bein hashmashos below matzah, that you checked bein hashmashos and you didn't find, so you have the right to assume it's not going to be nolad that night. So the Rosh Yosef says, what about a beitza that's actually nolad in Erev Yantav bein hashmashos? Is that asr or is it mutter? If a beitza actually comes out, if the chicken lays an egg during bein hashmashos, do we assume that that's asr or mutter? L'chora should have a din of a safik beitza shenol d'biyom tov, where it's safik because of the bein hashmashos, a din of safik yom and safik laila, and most Rishonim would hold such a beitza would be asr because it's davar sheyesh lamatirin. So we don't say Savik Drabana Lakula. So that's Lechora what you should say. But says Rosh Yosef, maybe not. Maybe even if you say that Safek Achana is mutter, there's a reason to aser dafka when it's nolad ben hashmashos. Meaning, maybe if you go like the minority of poskim that a beitza that safek nolad on yantiv is going to be mutter. Maybe when it's nolad, when the safek is a ben hashmashos, that's the safek when you know that it was born ben hashmashos, it was laid ben hashmashos. Maybe it's going to be aser. Why? Because we paskin like Rabbah that the reason for the iser of beitza is because of a gezera atu yom tov after Shabbos. That it's all an issue of Achana. They have to be making from chol to Shabbos, from Chol to Yantiv. So if Yantiv falls out after Shabbos, then the Beitza is going to be Aser min HaTorah because it was Nigmar the previous day. It was really fully prepared and completed on the previous day. So it turned out that Shabbos is Mechon the Yantiv. So then it's going to be Manav Shech, it's going to be Aser. Since it's Nolad Ben HaShmashos between a Shabbos and a Yantiv that comes after it, so if it's already Yantiv, it's Aser because it's Nigmarah on Shabbos. And if it's still Shabbos and it's Nolad B'Shabbos, the Leda itself is Hachana and Shabbos cannot be Mechon the Yom. So either way, it's going to be Achana from Shabbos to Yantiv. So if that's the din, that even when Yantiv doesn't fall out after Shabbos, as part of that Gezerah of Ben Hashmashos, the whole thing is a Gezerah Mishum Shabbos that falls out after Yantiv, Yantiv that falls out after Shabbos. So we know what the din would be if it was born in a Ben Hashmashos between Shabbos and Yantiv. So mainly the same would be if it's born in a Ben Hashmashos going into Yantiv. So when Rashi says that you check Bein HaShmashos, he must mean that you check at the end of Bein HaShmashos and there was no egg there. But if you checked at the beginning of Bein HaShmashos, it would not be good enough to assume that it's going to be mutter, because maybe it was nolad during Ben Hashemashos, and then it would be Asr. That's the Ha'ara of the Rosh Yosef. Okay, says the Gemara further now. We are with two dots. So it says Gemara, Beishamayom Sa'ar B'Gazayis. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah, what the shear is for the Isra of Chametz. Whether we know that Sa'ar is Gazayis, is Chametz also B'Gazayis, or is Chametz B'Kikoseves. So says Gemara, Maitamay the Beishamay. What's the Svara for the Shita of Beishamay? Remember, Beishamay was one that said that Beishamay said Sa'ar is B'Gazayis and Chametz B'Kikoseves. So we have a larger shear for Chametz than we do for Sa'ar, which is like sourdough that will be Machmetz. So what's the reason that Beishamay has a larger shear for Chametz? Because if it was the same shear, the Torah only should have told me about chametz, and it wouldn't have to tell me that sa'ar is aser. And I would figure it out on my own. If chametz was just regular chametz, it's not going to be machmetz other things, and still the shear is only a kazayis. So the sa'ar, where it's chimutz kasha, where it's even more severe, where it could even be machmetz other things, all the more so that of course a kazayis is enough for the iser. So sa'ar the kasher rachman alamli. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to actually say sa'ar? Lomrul chashir shalze, lo kashir shalze. It must be to teach me that the shear is not the same for the two of them. That sa'ar and chametz have two different shearim. Ubeisilul, beisilul responds srichi. No, the Torah has to say it anyway, even if they have the same shear. Di kasher rachman a sa'ar have a mina mishum dechimutz kasha, but chametz ain't chimutz kasha below. If it only were to tell me sa'ar because I would say yes, sa'ar is because it's so severe, it's something that could even be machmetz other things, but regular chametz maybe should not be b'kazayis. Tzricha, that's why I needed to say regular chametz. Because of Rachman chametz, and if it only would have mentioned regular chametz, I would have said, yeah, regular chametz is also with as little as b'kazayis. Mishum d'roi la'achila, because you could eat regular chametz. Aval sa'ar shein roi la'achila imalo, but sa'ar is not roi la'achila, I might think that it's not also with as little as b'kazayis. Tzricha, so Beisil says, that's why we need both statements, both about the sa'ar, both items to be identified by the pasuk as being aser. They both have a shear of kazayis. So the kasha that all the rishonim asked, shita mukvetz asked, what was Beishamai svara that had let the pasuk only say chametz and wouldn't have to say sa'ar, and I would figure it out from a kalvachomer that if chametz is b'kazayis, then kalvachomer sa'ar is b'kazayis. Asked shita mukvetz, how could you learn the isur sa'ar from chametz? Ein onshin min adin. We have a halacha that you can't give an onish based on a kalvachomer. So how could the whole thing? How could we even have a havamina that you're going to learn the entire thing from a kalvachomer? So shita mukvetz explains, no, the shita of Beishamai is that we're not coming to learn the ikur iser from a kalvachomer. We're only coming to learn the shear from the kalvachomer. So the shear is considered like a gili milsa bialma. Once we know the iser anyway, so the iser exists even without this pasuk, so the shear could be derived from a kalvachomer. Pnei Yeshua points out that l'chora, we could have been matarits differently. That bein kach, either way, you're not going to get malchus on the iser bal yira because it's a lavanita klasei. The iser bal yira can be corrected by then destroying the chametz. Halach is lavanita klasei. Is you don't get malchus on. So since the whole issue is about the etzem and iser, it's not about the onesh, so we're not going to apply the concept of ein onshin min adin. So you can learn the iser of sa'ar from chametz through a kalvachomer. But then the question becomes, what's nafkamina the machloks v'mishayim v'esilel about the shear of beer? The shearim of isurim are generally only legabe malchus and korban. The iser itself, we pass in chatzi shear is also min haTorah anyway. So the main nafkamina in this whole machlokas. So Pnei Yeshua says, is only asum in haTorah by Yisurei Achila. Maybe by Yisurei Hano or by Nisra of ownership, we're not going to say Chatzi Shir asum in haTorah. The reason by Yisurei Achila Chatzi Shir is asum in haTorah is because there's Hana as Grono, that a person enjoys the benefit of the food. You can't say that by other things. Okay, Vaitunar, Beishamai Lesud Rabbi Zeira, Beishamai must not hold of it. How could Beishamai reject the sheet of Rabbi Zeira, which just really expounds a pasuk? Dom Rabbi Zeira, Pascha Kas Besar Vesiyim Bechametz, Lomel Chazel Sar Zel. Chametz, that Sar and Chametz are the same. Beishamai apparently doesn't hold this way because Beishamai has a different shear for the two of them. Now when it comes to eating, everyone agrees that the shear is the same. Ki pligi linin beer. The whole machlokes Beishamai Beisilel is about the mitzvah of beer. Beishamai sar v'lo yalfinon beer me'achila. Beishamai holds that we don't learn beer from achila. Beisilel savri yalfinon beer me'achila. And Beisilel holds that we do learn beer from achila. The Chassam Sofer says that they're arguing in in the reason of the Isra of Bal Yirah, whether it's the Ran writes in Pesachim that the reason of the Isra of Bal Yirah is because the Torah is makbid to be mevar, so they don't come to eat from it. So it's a siyag for the Isra of Achila. And that must be what Beis Hillel holds. That's why Beis Hillel connects Biur to Achila. Beis Shammai must hold differently. Beis Shammai must hold that the Chiyuv of Biur is a Gzeres HaKasav, nothing to do with the Isra of Achila, so you wouldn't learn Biur from Achila. Itmar Nami, Yom Rav Yosef, Rav Chanin, Machlokas, and Biur, Avelin, Achila, Devere Kol, Zev, Zev, Gzayis. The whole Machlokas is Gabi Biur, but by Achila, everyone would agree it's Gzayis. Tani Nami, Achiv, Lo Yira, Lechasar, Lo Yira, Lechachamet, Zem Machlokas, Shvei Mishamah, Beis Hillel. That's Machlokas, Beis Shammah, Beis Hillel, Shvei Mishamah, Yom Sa'ar, Be Gzayis, Vechamet, Be Kosevis. Beis Shammah holds Sa'ar, Be Gzayis, and Chamet, Be Kosevis, Beis Hillel, Amr, Zev, Zev, Gzayis. That's with regard to Ba'i Rabbi Matzeh, that's with regard to Biur, but when it comes to the Yisra Achila, everyone's going to agree it's the same shear. Okay, we're a little bit behind. We'll try to catch up as much as we can tomorrow.